I recently had my first root canal. I hope it's my last. Although with advances in modern dentistry, it really wasn't all that difficult. Although I can think of a lot of things I would have rather done for that hour or two than go through that. But as I thought about the process that led up to it, here was the thinking that I had. And I think it's a metaphor for spiritual things. But somewhere back in time, apparently, there was a little leakage under that crown or that filling or whatever, and a little spot of decay began, and only I wasn't aware of it. But then in time, there was a little twinge of pain, and those twinges became more noticeable, growing in intensity and frequency, and I thought, you know, I really need to deal with this, but just kept neglecting it and putting it off. And then one day, I awoke, or it was in the early morning anyway, to this horrible toothache. I've never had a toothache like that. And antibiotics and painkiller, and you know all that, those of you that have gone through that. But I thought, you know, really, folks, that's a metaphor for spiritual decay. Spiritual decay, spiritual degradation doesn't begin overnight. It begins and slowly, imperceptibly at first, things began to change. Decay sets in spiritually into a life, into a culture, into a nation. And all of a sudden, we can't believe how far we've slipped from where we were. Howard Hendricks, using another metaphor, he said, moral failure, moral spiritual failure in a life or in a nation is never a blowout. It's always a slow leak. It's a slow leak. This Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. We're going to gather to pray for our nation because our nation is in serious trouble. Our nation is on this path of moral degradation. We are going down spiritually. And all of our problems, by the way, that we're facing are really the result of spiritual problems. Economically, socially, the family, politically, it's all spiritual in nature. Spiritual causes at the root. There's that song, Abide With Me. There's a verse that says, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. That's a prayer. The problem in America and the problem in people's lives is we turn away from the truth. We turn away from the Word of God. We turn away from God and we begin to worship other things. And inevitably, the path, the result, is degradation, further darkness, sinking further into depravity, and what we see happening today. I started to look up some statistics, but I thought, I don't know how helpful it is. You know, I mean, you don't have to be a theologian, an astute observer of culture. Just have your ears and eyes open and think, and you realize that this is a different day than a generation ago. The abuse of children, physically, sexually, it boggles the imagination what's happening. Teen suicide, we saw that in our own area of Northwest Iowa. Our hearts ought to go out to families. We need to declare, by the way, that is wrong, that is sin. Nevertheless, the culture is feeding in all of the stuff of the dark side and all of the influences and the breakdown of the home and family. And we see the results. Shootings on campuses, college campuses, high school campuses. Students taking guns into the classroom. It's a different world than even the Wild Wild West. As far as I can tell and read. cohabiting couples, the demise, it seems, of marriage, divorce. 40% of 15-year-old children in America, 40%, 4 out of every 10, no longer live with both their natural parents. What are the effects of that? 4 of 10 births now. 4 out of every 10 births in America are to unwed mothers. What's happening? Romans explains it. Now, let's just give a little overview of where we're going to be going. It'll take us a few messages to work through this. But Paul began in verses 16 and 17 talking about the gospel. There's our hope. And then he began in verse 18 talking about the wrath of God is revealed. Present tense is revealed. There is a wrath that's coming, but there is a wrath that's being revealed right now. The gospel is necessary, and the gospel is the only thing that can redeem individuals and therefore redeem and save cultures. The gospel is necessary because there's wrath, because the wrath of God rests upon unbelievers. Why? Because God has revealed Himself. He's revealed Himself in creation and in man's conscience. Notice it says, verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God has given this revelation of Himself, but men suppress that truth. Unbelievers, cultures, suppress the truth of God. They suppress the teaching of the Bible because they don't want a God who says He has authority over their lives and has determined a way for us to walk in. Man wants to be in charge of his life. Man wants to call the shots. Man wants to engage in the pleasures of sin. So he suppresses the truth about God in unrighteousness. Because after all, if there's a God, then that means I'm accountable to Him because He made me. And I'm accountable to do what He says and not do what He says not to do. So mankind has from the beginning, suppressed the truth of God in unrighteousness. Sin creates guilt. So man says, well, then I'm going to deal with the source of the guilt. I'll just suppress the truth and put something else in its place. It's like looking in a mirror, which tells you, you don't look so good today, and you don't like that, so you smash the mirror, or at least you hide it under the mattress. What good does that do? It hasn't changed anything, right? So men suppress the truth of God because they don't want that guilt-producing, that call to accountability from our Maker. So as the text goes on, what does man do? He puts something in place of God. He makes idols. He begins to worship the creature rather than the Creator. And the slide just continues as man turns from God and begins to worship things of his own making. Something other than God. Deeper into depravity, and then three times, beginning at verse 24 and verse 26 and verse 28, it says, therefore God gave them over. We're going to come to this in another message. God gave them over to sexual immorality. You know, we gave some statistics that speak of all of the stuff that's happening morally and immorally in our nation. That's part of the wrath of God. That is the, if you will, the punishment of God. When a culture chooses to engage in immorality and more gross immorality, God just kind of pulls off the stops and gives over the culture to what they say they want to do. And the slide just continues at an increasing rate. So three times it says, God gave them over. Man thinks he's free, but it's a horrible picture of bondage and sin and debauchery. It's characterized by sexual immorality. And then that which is unnatural sexuality, homosexuality, and then finally a reprobate mind, where the chapter ends in verse 32, that not only do they practice such things, but they give hearty approval. We no longer just practice them, now we praise and celebrate it. And that's... Does that sound like America? So, we're just going to look this morning at how mankind responded to the light that God gave of Himself way back in the beginning. How God gave a revelation of Himself, and to every culture, to every peoples, there's this revelation through creation that He's out there. And if man will go towards the light, God will give more light. God will reveal more of Himself. But man has chosen to go away from the light and in the deeper darkness. It was that way at the beginning, in the garden even. Every culture has gone through this. It's a fearful thing when God says He gives over individuals to their depravity. So let's look this morning. How specifically does mankind suppress the truth? We're calling this the Great Exchange. Notice, first of all, men exchange the worship of the Creator with worship of the creature. Man exchanged worship of the Creator with worship of the creature. Verse 21 says, "For even though they knew God..." Now, that doesn't mean salvation. The Bible uses that word sometimes. Jesus said it, John 17:3, "This is the eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God." This means to know about God. You'll see it in verse 19. "Because that which is known about God is evident to them." We studied that. God has given mankind this amazing revelation of Himself in creation. It's indisputable. There is a higher being. There is a supreme being. He's wise. He's powerful. He's majestic to have done this. It's willful blindness that says, "I don't think so. I think it just happened." Nothing times nobody equals everything. But no, even though they knew God, even though they knew God, aware of His existence, aware of His power, aware of His wisdom, instead of going towards the light, trusting God for more revelation, man went away from the light into deeper darkness. And it's been true, as I said, of every culture down through history. It's true of ours. This nation that was founded on biblical principles, our system of law based on the Ten Commandments and the law given to Moses, and we're turning away from it. Here's what happens. Notice three ways in which the exchange happened. The exchange of worship of the Creator with worship of the creature. Paul says three things. First of all, they did not honor Him as God. Though they knew God, they knew about God, they did not honor Him as God. The word honor there is the word doxa in the Greek. We get our word doxology, for example. It means to praise, to glorify. The purpose of man, what is the basic purpose of man? To glorify God, to honor God. The Westminster Catechism, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It's why we were created, by the way. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. "Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name." That's what we were created to do. To glorify God. To praise Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 for a New Testament reference. "Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, do all to what? The glory of God." That's what you and I were created to do. All creation does what it was created to do. Except man. The heavens declare what? The glory of God. Psalm 19:1. Why do the birds sing? It was the birds that woke me up this morning. Had the window open, drawing in some fresh air. They're singing pretty early these days. You know what they're doing? Besides waking people up. They're singing praise to God. That's what they were created to do. The sweet song of the birds. The heavens declare the glory of God. Why do flowers bloom in all of their beauty and all of that variety? Why? Glory of God. declaring the glory of God. Stars shine, flowers bloom, birds sing. Everything declaring its maker's praise. But even though they knew God, they did not what? Honor Him as God, praise Him as God, thank Him as God. Notice secondly, or give thanks. The two are tied very closely together. They did not honor Him as God or give thanks. To be thankful, beloved, listen, to be thankful implies that you recognize that someone has given you something, someone has blessed you with something, someone has benefited you in some way, someone has helped you. It means you're dependent on someone for something. That's why a thankful person is a humble person. An unthankful person is a proud person. Are you thankful? See, when you truly know God, you realize that everything comes from Him. I mentioned that everything comes from Him. I mentioned the doxology a little bit ago. Doxa, glory, honor. The doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. By the way, what do you have this morning that you weren't given? What do you have today that you weren't given? I'll tell you the answer before I explain. Zero, nothing. You say, now wait a minute, Fred. I work hard. I work hard and there's food on my table. There's a nice roof over my family's head because I have got a tremendous work ethic and I work hard. Who gave you a brain? Who gave you the strength? And speaking of the food, are we thankful for the rain this week? Amen? Right? I mean, all God has to do is turn off the spigot up there. And where's the food going to come from? Oh, we'll go buy it at the grocery store. Well, where does it come from? See, it's all, everything is, praise God from whom all blessings flow. But what does man do? He didn't honor Him as God or give thanks. Or give thanks. Deuteronomy 8:18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth. Acts 17:28. In Him we live and move and have our being. See, that's why gratitude is a fundamental mark of a believer. And ingratitude is a fundamental mark of an unbeliever. Someone said, grumblers, complainers are practical atheists. Remember that when you grumble and complain. Like sometimes I am wont to do. I'm a practical atheist at that point. God, I don't like this. I don't think I have enough. I don't like this. Or why didn't this happen? Do you know how easy it is to think that the world owes you and me something? Do you ever think that? The world owes you something? No. And yet how easy it is to think that God owes us something? God owes us something? Listen, if God gave us our due, we don't even want to think about that. If God gave us what was due us, it would be eternal separation from Him. But in grace, He's given us eternal life and salvation. No. See, if we think that God owes us prosperity, God owes us success, God owes us comfort, God owes us health, you know what we've done? We've made ourselves God. God, you owe that to me. You serve me. No, we've got it all backwards. And that's humanistic thinking. So here's the beginning of the downward plunge. For God, even though they knew God, knew about God, that there's a God out there who's made everything. And I'm one of the creatures. And therefore, I owe Him something. I owe Him my life. I owe Him my trust. I owe Him my faith. I owe Him my obedience. But even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. We can handle this, God. If we're worshiping ourselves rather than God, that's humanism. Thirdly, they became idolaters. They became idolaters. Look at verse 23. They became idol worshippers. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and of crawling creatures. There was an exchange here. Here's the essence of the great exchange we're talking about. Rather than honoring and worshiping God for who He is, man invented his own religion, his own religions, to replace the worship of the true and living God. See, every person will worship something. Every person will worship something. Every culture will worship something or some things. When he turns from God, man, a culture, will put something else in its place. And here it says, mankind turned to idolatry. Notice, an image in the form of corruptible man exchanged the glory of the incorruptible, the glorious, the unchanging, all-powerful God, exchanged that for an image in the form of corruptible man. Finite, corruptible man. Do you know what the most basic form of idolatry is? It's man worshiping himself. Humanism, again. That originated in the Garden of Eden. Satan came to Eve, tempted her. Eve, God knows in the day you eat of the fruit, you'll be like God. You can call the shots. You can be in control. It was all a lie. And so it's continued down through history. Think of the idolatry. Just a couple examples. Ancient Corinth. Pastor Mike's been teaching on it in Sunday evening in his messages. In Corinth were temples to the goddess of love, where men went in to worship. And how did they worship? By having sexual relations with temple prostitutes, temple priestesses. Or today in Lebanon, you can see these magnificent ruins of the temple, the ancient temple of Bacchus. We get Bacchanalia from it, which refers to drunkenness, because Bacchus was the Roman god of wine and drunkenness. And so here you've got a religion to the goddess of love and to the god of wine and drunkenness. How convenient is that? We can worship this god of our making, and look at how much fun that's going to be. But it took them further into darkness and darkness and depravity. In India today, hundreds of millions of cows are worshipped as sacred beings. Notice that? He exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. The goddess of love, or the goddess of wine, or the god of wine, or of birds and four-footed animals, cows and crawling creatures. That's reptiles. That's especially a snake. You've gone from the highest, the worship of Almighty God, to worshiping a snake. You know, you look at the world's religions, those in the jungles, and people ask me, does this speak to that? Yes, it speaks to that. To the Stone Age tribes and bowing down before a tree or worshiping a beetle or an insect or something. And you think of how the glorious God revealed Himself. And in the beginning was worship of God. And then man came out after God destroyed the world, and Noah and his children and their wives came out of the ark. And that was the restart of the human race. And the knowledge of God was there, the pure knowledge of God. And then all that you see in the tribes and in Indian, it all is degradation as people turn away from the light. And now they're worshiping snakes and insects. Down, down, down. Man substitutes lesser gods because it feeds his pleasure. And these lesser gods, what is there to fear? What is there to fear in a cow walking around the street in India? Let's worship that. We can control that maybe. But you know what the tragic paradox is? The paradox is that as man began to glorify himself and worship himself, mankind became more degraded. And now you see, as Paul's going to explain in another message, men with men, women with women, and men with boys and so on. And it's degraded. And it all began with man exalting himself. And that's always the way it is. When you substitute the worship of God for the worship of man and you turn away from the truth of God to your own reasonings, it's degrading. It's debauchery. It's dehumanizing. You make sex your God, as ancient cultures did, as we've done, you end up with what's happening today. The exploitation of children, AIDS, rampant STDs, God will give you over to it. All right. They exchange the worship of the Creator for worship of the creature, which essentially is changing, moving from worship of God to worship of man. Secondly, there is the exchange of the revelation of God with the reasoning of man. The revelation, the truth of God with the reasonings of man. God revealed Himself. He is the truth. But natural man will always resist the truth, always resist the truth of God and put something else in its place, his own reasoning. Paul mentions three things here. When you turn away from God's truth, God's revelation. Number one, it says they became futile in their speculations. You see that? Verse 21. Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him. They became futile in their speculations. Speculation means opinions, reasonings, thoughts. Futile means empty, useless, worthless, foolish. When a person, when a culture, when a nation rejects the truth of God and substitutes its own ideas, its own thoughts, its own theories, of its own philosophies, it turns out to be utterly worthless and useless for discovering meaning and purpose in life. Secondly, their foolish heart was darkened. As they turned from God, turned away from the light, it only led to more darkness. Their foolish heart was darkened. To turn away from God doesn't bring enlightenment. It brings darkness. It doesn't bring freedom. It brings more bondage to turn away from God and His truth, to turn away from the revelation of God and to pursue the reasonings of man. Oh, we could share a lot of examples of foolish thinking today, it seems to me. I just thought of this one, having served in the military. I read recently about something called the Stolen Valor Act, which was initiated, passed by Congress, our Congress in 2006. The Stolen Valor Act made it a crime to falsely claim that you had received a military honor. The Congress said it is going to be a crime to stand up and to claim, whether you're getting a job or you're in a public meeting, and say, I was awarded the Purple Heart. I was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. I was awarded the Medal of Honor. You say, somebody would actually stand up and say, the highest military honor, I was awarded the Medal of Honor, and they hadn't received it? Yes. Out in California, a politician in a public meeting said he had been a recipient of the Medal of Honor But he never had. And so under the law, he was fined $5,000. He took it to court, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco overturned the Stolen Valor Act and said, under the free speech amendment of the Constitution, lying is protected. That, to me, is a foolish heart being darkened. His lawyers, now it's at the Supreme Court. Now they've got to deal with it. You know what his lawyers said? They said, not only is his free speech protected, his lying protected under the Constitution, his lawyers also made the argument that he's a politician and politicians are known to shade the truth. And I thought, well, on that much we can all agree. You turn from the Word of God, and foolish hearts are darkened, unable to see. That's wrong to lie like that and say and benefit from it in some way. That's wrong. No wonder. Oh, and then in 1980, of course, the Supreme Court said it was unconstitutional to post the Ten Commandments in a school where students could read it because they might be influenced by it. And so in 1980, the Supreme Court said, can't do that, can't post them. It's no wonder John Adams said, quote, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Ted Koppel, a few years ago, former host of Nightline on ABC. He was addressing the graduating class at Duke University, and it's quite an address. He really took it to the TV industry and said how this, what should have been a gift, a service to mankind, has become just a cesspool and all of that. But he said, quote, in his address, we have actually convinced ourselves in America that slogans will save us. Shoot up if you must, but use a clean needle. Enjoy sex whenever, with whomever you wish. Just practice safe sex. No, he said, the answer is no. Not no because it isn't cool or smart or because you might end up in jail or dying in an AIDS ward, but no because it's wrong. Our society, he said, finds truth too strong a medicine to digest undiluted. In its purest form, truth is not a polite tap on the shoulder. It is a howling reproach. When Moses brought, what Moses brought down from Mount Sinai were not the 10 suggestions. They are commandments. Are, he said, not were. So when you reject God's truth, what are you left with? Futile speculations. A darkened heart. A darkened heart. But aren't we supposed to follow our heart? The late Princess Diana, that's what she said. She said, only do what your heart tells you, unquote. No, that's dangerous. Because your heart will lie to you more than anyone else. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? But our culture says, just follow your heart. The only time you follow your heart is when it tells you to believe in Jesus, to believe in God. A heart that's enlightened by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So what are we left with? Judges 21:25. It's true of our culture, as it was true then. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Right in his own eyes. Whatever seems right to you. Lying to get the job? Okay. Whatever. Let me read this quote. Who do you think said this? Quote, a man who has no assured and ever-present belief in the existence of a personal God or of a future existence with retribution and reward. In other words, you don't believe in anything after death. Can have for his rule of life, as far as I can see, only to follow those impulses and instincts which are the strongest or which seem to him to be the best ones. Unquote. Charles Darwin said that. See, that's the logical outcome of evolution. This wasn't created. It just happened. Just random selection, natural selection, random choice. But the logical end of evolution is all you can do is follow what seems best to you. Do what's right in your own eyes. Dostoevsky, the Russian author, said, "If there is no God, everything is permitted." So in our wisdom, when we said teachers can't read the Bible to their students in school, in the classroom, students can't pray at commencement, we can't post the Ten Commandments because it might influence somebody, we're saying no to God. We're not honoring Him as God. And Dostoevsky says, then everything is permitted. And Paul's going to unfold what that means. Thirdly, professing to be wise, they became fools. You exchange the truth of God for a lie. You exchange the revelation of God for the reasoning of man. Here's what you end up with. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That is a statement of our times. So many today in academia, wherever, feel they are too intelligent to believe in God. Oh, come now. 6-day creation, 6 literal day creation. How foolish. We're enlightened. Oh, come now, you're going to restrict marriage to a man and a woman? Professing to be wise, they became fools. This is the slide. This is the slope. God says of the wise, 1 Corinthians 1:19, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." 1 Corinthians 3:19 and 20, the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. The Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. Professing to be wise, they became fools. It was an interesting Greek word. We get our word moron from that word fool. And that isn't an intellectual, by the way. That isn't an intellectual deficiency. It's a moral deficiency. That's how the Bible defines fool. You can be the smartest man on planet Earth, but if you don't believe God and don't believe His truth, the Bible calls you a fool. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God," Psalm 14:1. All right. Are you thoroughly depressed? You know, this could be depressing, right? So what is our response? Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Buy the truth and do not sell it." We need the truth. We need the one who said, "I am the way and the what?" The truth and the life. I was talking with Marie, I think it was last night, yesterday, our daughter. We were commenting on John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, where it says of Christ, "In Him was life, and the life was the what? The light of men." The light of men. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." It could also be translated, "The darkness did not overpower it." And praise God, Jesus Christ is the light who lights every man that comes into the world. And as people turn to the light, turn to Christ, there is deliverance from this present evil generation. There is new direction. There is salvation. There is grace. there is meaning, there is purpose. As people come to the light, as they come to the truth, and the darkness cannot overpower it. The darkness will not quench the light. The gospel is the hope. That's why Paul began in verses 16 and 17. You know, Paul shares this depressing scenario that only gets worse as we go. We'll feel like we need a bath probably when we're done. But he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And so we pray, oh God. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves, continue to live it and believe it, share it, and pray that God would open the eyes and give the gospel free course in our culture. One by one, helping us reach individuals, boys and girls, neighbors, co-workers for the gospel. For the church that has fallen asleep. Listen to these words as we close from Psalm 81, where God writes to His people. Psalm 81, verse 11, But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart, to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to Him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Buy the truth, do not sell it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, on the one hand, sobering, and yet, Father, we need this understanding of how we've gotten to where we are. And Lord, through all of this shines all the more glorious as a diamond against black velvet. The glorious gospel of free grace in Christ. The gift of eternal life to whomsoever will believe. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. As was said to the ancients, save yourselves from this wicked generation. Come to Christ. Be delivered. So, Father, we thank you for the gospel. Lord, we pray for our land. We pray for ourselves as believers, Lord. Help us to walk with compassion, with courage, holding forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So, Father, we thank you for giving us the truth. We bless you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.